like to take just a few minutes and talk to you about something I just mentioned, and that's God's hand. God's hand. Ever since the beginning of this earthly time, God's hand has been in everything that has been done in this world. He created everything to his liking. He created it the way he wanted it. And we messed it up. Man messed it up. But I want to talk to you about God's hand on man. And I just want to read one verse here. If you will just stand, I'm going to read one verse out of Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. And it says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. Lord, that we can come in the house of God and worship you and praise you, Lord. And Lord, be reminded of just how good you've been to us. And Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that this message, Lord, that you've given me, Lord, you'll help me with my stammering tongue. Lord, that it may be a help, a blessing. And Lord, you get the glory for what's done and said. And Lord, we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for everything you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You say that's a mighty short verse, but it's got something to do because it shows you that God actually created man. So God's got his hand on man today. In this life today and in our past lives, we've always heard that we want God's hand on God's man. When our pastor stands up and preaches, we pray we want God's hand on him and the power of God be upon him that he can preach the gospel, preach it boldly into our hearts that souls may be saved. And I want to ask you one question tonight. Since he's been down with his back and the pain, and Miss Juanita's been down with hers, and everything, how many times have you actually spent 15 seconds and prayed for our pastor? How many times? Thinking about him going down to the road and asking for God to help him. I can remember the days back when we first came to Gateway Baptist Church. You were in the orange building. Jubilee was the first meeting I think we came here to. But in all of those years, there's been things that's gone on in Gateway Baptist Church where you have seen the hand of God upon man. And it seems that sometimes along the line, we have forgotten what God has done for us. Not just as a church, but as us, as individuals in our lives. Sometimes we forget that God reached down and saved us for a purpose in this life. And that purpose is to tell someone else about Jesus. In this church here, since I've been here some 17 years, I guess it's close to 18 years, I have seen men and women alike get saved. I've seen God move in this church. I remember a day when after Jubilee we had Sunday school out here, and God got in it, got a hold of the people in the church, got a hold of the service, and he started showing his power. And I believe that following that Sunday, Pastor baptized some 30 something people. It wasn't nothing we did in particular. It was the very fact that God put his hands upon some people and they began to pray and began to pray for individuals, and individuals began to get saved, began to get right with God, and things happened in this church. I can remember a deacon at the time. I can remember some Sunday school teachers at the time that got saved. And that just goes to show you that God's got his hands on every man, even Yankees. God had his hands on Brother Mark. He still got his hands on you, brother. He's still God. He's still in control. And we find that sometimes hard to believe. I can remember when my son, it had not been in church in 4 or 5 years or more when we come to Gateway Baptist Church. He got hurt in church as a young person. And young people, that's one reason you don't keep your eyes on the man. You keep your eyes on God. Because the worst hurt you can get is from an individual in the church. But I saw my son get up out of the pew back here, come down here and stood there at the altar. He had knee surgery. He couldn't get up. But all of a sudden, God put his hand on him, and he went to his knees and prayed right there and got his life right with the Lord. I can remember seeing Brother Mark kneeling and praying and God taking a hold of his life, forgiving him and paying his sin debt, that he can take him and make something out of him, make a man of God out of him, out of somebody that was nothing. I can remember when Brother Jeff Wilson got saved here at the church. I can remember when Brother Ben Hill got saved here at the church. I can remember when the rest of the Hill clan got saved and got into God's family. I can remember the times that God had his hands upon the church. And now sometimes we look around in some of the people that God had touched and worked on and had met their needs and straightened their lives out, they're not here anymore. And there's a reason for it. Because we forget that we need God's hand on our lives. We need God's hands on our Sunday school teachers, that they can teach our children the Word of God like it ought to be taught. We need that burden in our heart that those children hear it first from the Word of God and not from somebody else. We need choir members with the hand of God on their singing. Why? Because we're uplifting Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior with our songs. Praise Him, it says. Sing songs unto Him. And it becomes really a sweet smelling savor to Him when the choir begins to sing. But we take it lightly. And we let it go. And we say, well, we can get by. Well, you need to stop and think. You make it a little bit harder on God's man over here. He's called of God. He's doing what God told him to do. He's doing his best at it. And God's hand needs to be upon him in order to direct the choir, to give God the glory. We need ladies that teach the toddlers. We need ladies with God's hand on them and the power of God on them to teach those children that there is something better than what you see on TV or in this world. I'm sure Brother Gary can take and look back on his life and remember when a preacher come by a military meeting, preached the Word of God, and you knelt down on your knees and God reached down and saved you and took you through your life, and now you're out here sending missionaries around the world. Helping them. God's hand is on what's being done. God's hand. We see people's lives that seem to almost be destroyed, but yet then God reaches down and takes them and puts them back together and takes that old clay where the clay about come apart and puts a little Holy Spirit water on it and puts it back together. And you see families saved, families put back together, homes put back together, and lives brought back to life. We see that. And we need that in our lives today, but we forget about that. We forget about it. We should be praying daily for our pastor, for our Sunday school teachers, for our deacons, for our choir director, for our choir, for each other, for our sick folks, for our shut-ins. We need people with God's power and God's hand on them to start praying. Because that's the only way that things are going to get done God's way, is that God has his way in our lives. You say it, well, some of this stuff I don't quite lock on to. I mean, you know, we don't need all of this over here about modesty and obedience. We don't need that. We just need a place to come and sit down and for a few minutes and have that social religion. God never called us to have a social religion. If you remember, when he went into the temple, he made himself a whip and he run those type people out. He run them out. Took no second thoughts about it. They were defacing his house. And if we do not let God keep his hands on us, we may be like some of these churches you see today that are practically empty, don't get the word of God preached to them, do not have a pastor that cares for them and is concerned about them and spends time in prayer, time in the Word of God to take and teach you and preach to you to help you in your life. If we didn't have that, then it would be easy to sit in these pews. But we have a pastor and we have an assistant pastor and a youth director that loves our people and is looking forward to something good happening in their lives. It's not just Mark's idea to come in here and be a youth director and come around here and say, well, we're going to do this. Y'all hurry up and get it done. I believe if he's going to direct it and he's going to oversee it, he prays that his hands, God's hand is on him while he directs and teaches and takes these young people to places where they can get God's word in their life. I believe Brother Tim, God's got his hand on him to where he can take and direct our choir and sing as well as he does. It's because back one day, somebody was praying for you and taking and lifting him up, and God saved him as a young person, a young child, I guess. He still ain't grown up too much, just taller. But God has helped him. God's hand has been upon him. God's hand has been upon many of you sitting here tonight that I've seen changes in. I've seen changes in myself sometimes when I get bitter, and sometimes I get bitter and I get mad, and I'll mumble and grumble. You ask my wife, she'll tell you all of it. But we need to take and get away from those things, because we have a God that's powerful in mercy. You'll find that in Acts chapter 4, verse 30. And then you'll find him, he's a God of omnipotent protection. You'll find that in John 10, 29, in the protection of his own. Then you'll find that he's a God of supreme position of the Son of God. You'll find that in Psalms 110, verses 1. And in our lives, we need to take and start asking God's hand upon us. God, put your hands upon me. Let me pray to where you can take and put your hands upon me and use me to thy glory, to where my children, you need to get this tract and read it out there. I'm going to read this to you. So your children won't become one of these homeless children around the world. United States, 1,250,000 homeless children. Or in the next 30 minutes, 29 teenagers will attempt suicide. What's going to stop that? You praying for your child until God puts his hand on you and the Holy Spirit moves on that child's heart and they get saved by the grace of God. That's what's going to keep them out of statistics like this. 57 teenagers will run away from home in the next 30 minutes. 14 girls under the age of 16 will have a baby. You say, well, that's nothing. It is. It is. It's important because it's against God's will. It's against God's word. 32 girls will have an abortion. 685 teens will use narcotics. What's going to stop your child from getting mixed up in this kind of stuff? What's going to stop your child from being part of these statistics? Is that you're getting to where in your prayer life that you can pray and God can put his hands on you and the mediator between you and God can take and say, God, this is what they're praying about, and he reached down and touched that child's life. And if you don't do it continually, something is going to happen. It's not a one-time prayer. God tells us to pray without ceasing. Over in the book of Acts, he talked about, and when they was all of one accord and prayed, he added unto the church, to them daily. If we want Gateway Baptist Church to grow, our desire should be, most of all, not that it grow in number, but it grow in new souls. God has blessed. It may not be by 3,000. It may be one at a time, two at a time. But we need to pray that that goes on in our lives, that God has his hands on our lives. Every day in America, 2,975 teenagers get pregnant. Six teenagers commit suicide every day in America. 211 teens are arrested for drug abuse. 372 teenage girls have a miscarriage. 1,629 teenagers are placed in adult jails. Brother Bill knows what a jail cell is like. He knows. Brother Tim knows what it's like. I know what it's like. To go in and see young people behind bars doing 10, 15, 20 years. Their life's going to be gone before it's long. So we need to pray for them. 1,512 teenagers drop out of school. 2,989 experience their parents getting a divorce. Getting a divorce. What happened to the trying to get through marriages with God's help instead of the neighbor's help? What got wrong with talking to the pastor about your problems and your deacon and your circumstances in your life to help you than to calling somebody on the phone and getting their opinion that they got an opinion from somebody else that they talked to on the telephone? God is the answer to these kinds of things in our lives. God is the answer. And let me tell you, the devil is out daily, minute by minute, seeking whom he may destroy. That's why we need to pray constantly in prayer for our children and our families, because he looks who he can destroy. And he can do it very easily. You can hear it on the news, even tonight on the news. Things going wrong. People of great esteem being destroyed by things of this world. And in this, let me get this. I'm going to pull a Tommy Steele on you. But I just want to make an example here just a minute. In our lives, we have things in our lives. Now, I got nothing against cell phones or anything like that. I just want to make an example here. In our lives, there are many things around us, and we allow ourselves, adults and children, to do the same things that we do. But in our lives, if we take the things that are so easily beset us and surround us, in our lives, we get video games, got computers, got TV, got radios, got everything around the world. I talked to Brother Mark Shields about this the other night. We stand out in the parking lot. We have, as lost people, we have everything in this world available to us. As a lost person, you have everything available to you. Anything you want is available. In the schools, on the streets, in the stores, in Walmart, in the Westgate Mall, anywhere else, anything you have a desire for, you can get. And we get surrounded by those things in our life. And I would like for one thing for you to listen. This is this. If we want God's hand on our lives, we need to start getting rid of some things. Whatever it is, we need to say, God, this right here, first of all, he gets rid of our sins by prayer. And we ask God to forgive us. And he comes into our lives and he forgives us. And we become God's children, joint heirs with Jesus Christ on our way to heaven. But there's things that we need to take and say, Lord, if this is hindering me, take it away. And God takes it away and he puts it back here where your sins were. And all of a sudden, the word of God that you heard about, that you got saved by, starts to show up. Starts to show up. A little bit. Your family begins to see a difference in your life. Your friends begin to see a difference in the way you act, you talk. Because I know, because if God can take and reach down and take an old foul mouth, drug taking, cussing, non-caring truck driver and reach down on October 3rd, 1983 and save him from that dirt and filth, I know he can save somebody else. Because you say you was that dirty, let me tell you, you were just as dirty as I was before you got saved. Amen. I'm nothing special until Jesus saved me. You're nothing special because of where you sit, who you are, what you do, or how rich you are, how famous you are, where your name is, or anything else. If you're lost, you're lost. But when you get saved by the same God that saved me, or saved a preacher where his old granny would throw the hat up in the air and while he and praying for him, it's the same God. And we take other things. Say, God, this right here is hindering my prayer life. Can you help me with it? And the word of God begins to show up just a little bit more. See? Not so much room for that sin anymore, is there? And you say, God, I need to grow. I need to understand. I need to have the knowledge, the understanding of the word of God. And you take and say, God, this is hindering my study, my home Bible study. God, help me to start reading my Bible more. And when you have something for me, help me to understand it. You see, we can seek after the same wisdom and knowledge that King Solomon asked for. It wasn't given to him like this. It was given to him because he asked for it instead of the riches of this world and things of that. And so he could guide the people. And when we have things that beset us, like our jobs, that we want the overtime and things like that, so we can have better things, boats, cars, guns, whatever it is, and we say, God, if that's interfering with my Christian life, take it away and give me grace to get through it. And all of a sudden, it gets a little bit bigger. Gets a little bit bigger. A little less room for the things of this world. And as we go through life and we get up and we want a Christian wife, or someone to be our mate, whether it's a Christian wife or husband or whatever it may be, we begin to pray for it. I had a preacher tell me one time, a long time ago, that if a young lady or a young man wants a husband or wife and it's time for them to start searching and God lays on them heart, said the best thing they could do is get in the choir, watch the choir, pick out a young lady or young man that is faithful to the choir, faithful to youth meetings, faithful to revival, and start praying. And God will give you that individual for your mate, if that's who it is. Because there's a moving in the heart when you know, your heart sort of pumps sometimes. And you start doing that, and all of a sudden, it gets a little bit bigger. A little bit less room for the things of the world. And we hold on to it. And we can always go back to it. We can always go back to this. The Bible, Brother Gary, is a military Bible given to me when I was drafted in the service. The Bible contains the mind of God. The state of man. The way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's a traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is a grand subject. Our good and our good design. And the glory of God it's in. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. It says read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mind of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It has given you life in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. We start having those things, and God has his hands upon our lives, and we ask him to take things out of our life like that bothers us and takes us, and all of a sudden, there's more God's word and less space for sin in our lives. And we take that and we bind it and hide the word in God's in our hearts that we may not sin against God. Because there's coming a time in your life when a lot of these things in this world is not going to mean anything to you, because what's in heaven's gotten just a little bit closer, gotten just a little bit sweeter in your life. And these things that we have that beset us so easily doesn't matter anymore. And then one day, whether it's in our younger age or older age, because I know God is a respecter of no persons, and death has no one and no age limit. It can be young, it can be old. But one day, when you get of age and things, and you're so much, you have taken so much out of your life with God's help, that God's word means more to you than anything else you read. Being in the house of God means more to you than being somewhere else. When being in revival here means more to you than staying at home and say, well, I'll get a copy of it on CD and DVD and listen to it. And when those things start to go away and we start taking them out, all of a sudden, guess what's took preeminence over your life? The Word of God. And all of a sudden, none of these things in this world has anything for you. You get to where you don't think about them much anymore. You start thinking on the things of heaven. I love to pan for gold. I haven't found much, not enough to pay for the gas to get there. But I love to do it. But one of these days, through this, through the Word of God, through the salvation of Jesus Christ in my heart, I'm going to get to walk on streets of gold as clear as glass. I'm going to get to, we were playing in the river this past week and found some amphitheus, little bitty things about like this. But God tells me that there's walls of jasper. You ever been to the ocean and picked up an oyster or shell? He tells me that there's going to be gates of pearl. 12 gates of one pearl. That's a big pearl. We begin to take things out of our life that this takes over our life. And with the hand of God on us and this, we cannot fail. With this and God's hand on him, our pastor can preach, can teach, and to sometimes chastise us in our Christian lives because we have put things aside and we say that it's more important to have God in my life and have the power of God on my hand, on my life than it is to have anything else in my life. And we began to see things happen. Year before last, I've heard this, and pastor has too in his early ages of preaching. When people used to sit on boards in churches, when they used to sit in windowsills and listen for the preaching of the Word of God, and I'm pretty sure year before last, I got a glimpse maybe of just what that was like. We had people everywhere. The pews were full. Brother Mark and some of the men, we had put chairs down the aisles, across the front, everywhere. Had them over in the organ loft, had them up here on the pulpit, had some over there, had them sitting out in the foyer in chairs, and some of them sitting in the windowsills just to hear the Word of God. And I got a glimpse. God let me see, that's what he looks for. People desiring to have the Word of God in their life and be preached to. To see, come into church and see something other than the world inside. You'll see them lined up come, what do they call it, Black Friday after Thanksgiving. You'll see them lined up at the stores to buy these things. What about lining up to come into the house of God? To where we have to have people directing traffic out there to park them and bring the handicap in and put the chairs in here. And young people filling up the pews out here so they can hear the man of God preach the Word of God that's truth to them. And not something that man has put out there for. What is wrong with having to line up out there and having a choir up here to where you have them all up here and maybe some down here to where you have a choir that's uplifting Jesus Christ and the Word of God in song. And Brother Tim having to stand back here instead of here because making room for a choir. What is wrong with taking and having God put his power upon you that when the altar, people come to the altars, that we come down and we pray with them? Have you noticed that a lot of our people, when they come to the altar, they pray by themselves? I don't think that's real scriptural. I don't know. I'm not a great theologian. But my God says, pray ye one for another. When somebody comes here, and I'm as bad about it as any of you here, I'm preaching to myself, we should be able to come down here and pray. You say, well, that person has comes to the altar every day, every Sunday, every service, every time. Well, so what? Go down there with him. You'll find out what God can do for you doing for him. We need the power and the hand of God upon us, not just our pastor, not just our deacons, not just our Sunday school teachers, not just for the song leader, not just for the youth director, not just for the choir loft, but for each and every one of us. When they was in all of one accord in the book of Acts, it didn't say that it was just young people or senior citizens. It says they were all in one accord praying. That's what we need in our lives. Go from this. Some of you have been saved longer than enough to get away from the little bit of life of Christian life. Get up here. Get up here. To where this book, when you open it up, now this big book was given to me by another church pastor a long time ago. And I looked inside of it tonight before I came when I brought it. It says, the Holy Bible, containing the Old and New Testaments in the King James Version. And then it says, Family Altar Edition. Family Altar Edition. Need more of this and less of the world in our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings on us. God, you've been so good to us. Lord, even when we complained and cried and whined, Lord, you were still good to us. And Lord, when we need corrected, you corrected us, and you still loved us. And Lord, we pray, God, that in our lives today, Lord, that we take and put more of God in our lives and less of this world. We seek more of God in our lives and seek less of this world in our lives. Lord, that we may have our church filled, and when we come into the house of God and we leave, we can say it's been good to be in the house of God because you've done something for us in our lives to help us stronger. And Lord, to help us to do what you have us to do. Lord, we need that tonight, Lord. And we pray, God, that you'll take and help us with that in our lives, that we may be getting more concerned about having the power and the hand of God upon our lives and our families and our wives, our husbands, our children. Lord, that we don't have to become a statistic, but we'll become that the preacher talked about, a peculiar people. That people will see the difference in us and see what Christ has for us and for them. Life eternal just for the asking. The price has been paid by the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.